no blessing apart from obedience. No blessing apart from obedience. And passing, you know, I was struck last night, Sister Michelle called and said, my daughter Olive was trying to get me . So Sister Mitchell explained that they were shooting in Odessa. That's where I preached for some 2.5 or more years. Those who might have watched what's going on there, the very hospital, the Odessa Medical Center, that's where Olive was born. That's just about 20 minutes drive from where the church that I used to preach was. You know, I keep saying to Sister Mitchell over the past year that whenever we go to America, we have to be careful that we don't go where a lot of people are. Because, that, no, truly, because that, what's going on, and what struck me that is that the amount of mass killing going on in the U.S., you do not have it going on in any other developed country in the world. And it makes me wonder what's wrong with that society, something. No other developed country in the world have the type of mass killing that you have going on there. Something is just not right. We pray for them. No blessing apart from obedience. Could we have from around verse 1 to 3, 4, or 5 read again? The passage is Judges chapter 17. Judges chapter 17.
And there was a man of Mount Ephraim whose name was Michal. And he said unto his mother, the 1,100 shekels of silver that were taken from thee.
The 1,100 shekels of silver that were taken from thee, which means was stolen. I want to make sure we understand it. You have a son and a mother dealing with each other here. The 1,100 shekels of silver that were stolen from thee.
About which thou cursed.
About which you speak some not so nice word.
And speakest also in mine ears.
And what the cursing you did was done right in my ears.
Behold, the silver is with me.
I am the thief.
I took it.
You see, it's worded nicely. The silver is with me. You know, I am the thief. When he said, I took it with me, I'm the one who stole your money. Read.
And his mother said, blessed be thou of the Lord, my son.
Yeah, in other words, it's good that you admit you're wrong and confess it. Read.
And when he had restored the 1,100 shekels of silver to his mother.
Yes, he gave back the money he stole to his mother.
His mother said, I had wholly dedicated the silver unto the Lord from my hand for my son to make a graven image.
Watch here now. Most likely the lesson will be a two-part lesson. Watch here now. Read that little part again, Brother Webb. I had wholly
dedicated the silver unto the Lord.
That is the 1,100 shekels of silver. It is completely and wholly and totally dedicated to the word Lord. All the letters are capitalized, meaning it's the word Jehovah. I have dedicated it to Jehovah.
from my hand for my son.
I have done so, dedicated it to Jehovah for the benefit of my son. But watch now. You see, in this passage, and this is why it has to be a two-part lesson, we are going to see a whole heap of contradiction and confusion. But you see, there are lessons in it for us. Read.
To make a graven image and a mold.
Wait. Something here does not. I have dedicated it to Jehovah. To make a what?
A graven image.
A graven image.
And a molten image.
No, those are two different things. They are both idols. But one is made of metal. And one is carved out of either wood or stone. You see, one idol was not enough. That's the same nice lady who had just forgiven her son and who dedicated all of that to Jehovah for the benefit of her son. Read on.
Now therefore, I will restore it unto thee.
Mm-hmm.
Yet he restored the money unto his mother.
Read.
And his mother took 200 shekels of silver.
Mm-hmm.
And gave them to the founder.
Mm-hmm.
Who made thereof a graven image.
The founder is the person who specializes. We would call them blacksmith. You know, specialize in melting down metal and making it into what they want. And what he made?
Who made thereof a graven image,
mm-hmm,
and a molten image.
Mm-hmm.
And they were in the house of Micah.
They were in the house of Micah.
And the man Micah,
that's the son,
had an house of gods.
What a deeply religious man. One God was not enough. He had a house of gods.
And made an epon and teraphim.
Mm-hmm.
And consecrated one of his sons, who became his priest.
Now, we may stop there. There'll be more to come in the lesson. But I wanted the brother to reach to where he consecrated one of his sons to be priest. Christianity is a religion of mediator or priests. Christianity is a religion of a mediator or priest. There could be no Christianity without this come between person or this priest. Proper dealing with and relating to the Almighty God calls for and necessitate a priest or a mediator. Brother Mitchell, say that another way. No man can relate to God properly, successfully, without a come between. Ever since sin entered the world, man needs a mediator, a priest, a come between, a bridge builder. It's important that we understand this. Strikingly, Micah recognized that. It is Sartre does something to the mind when you think of the idolatry that he's catering to, both he and his mother. But at the same time, there are some truths which he recognizes. The need for a mediator. On our own, you are I. Because of our sins and our ignorance, we are unworthy and unable to relate personally to God and to deal with God and to obtain His blessing. We cannot. Why, Brother Mitchell? Because of our sin. Because of our ignorance. We need somebody to take our case to God. We, because of our sin and imperfection, we cannot go to God. And somebody said, but Brother Mitchell, I'm not a Christian, but I've been going to God. You don't realize that it is wasted effort. That's right. That's right. We cannot have fellowship with God without somebody to take us to or recommend us to or somebody through whom we can go to God. We need a bridge. Because sin creates separation. And that is a fact whether you or I recognize it or not. So we need a bridge. Are we there? We need a mediator. We need a priest. We need a come between. All these words that I have just mentioned have the same connection or connotation in respect to dealing with God. Bridge. Something you use to cross from one place to the other. A mediator, a person who is a come between to make it possible for two people to solve their problem. A priest, one who officiates to a higher being on behalf of a lower being. All of this we need. Now, when we hear some about it, but one of the things that I heard a lot, especially from grandparents and parents, is why you know no manners, you know. And I'm here to tell you, that's the problem with sinners today. Sinners know of no manners. You know what? Why was that said to us as children, especially those of us who grew up in rural Jamaica? It's because there are times when if you talk too loud before your parents or grandparents, they will tell you, you have no manners. If you are listening to them when they are talking, you have no manners. And all of that, almost everything, you have no manners. Well, I'm here to tell you today, sinners have no manners. You know why? Sinners want to just run to God and talk to God when they want. They lack respect and manners. If they understand some of the things I'm saying here, they would appreciate John 9:31. Now we know that God heareth not sinners. But if any man be a worshipper of God, him God hears. What, y'all? If that is in the Bible, yes, in John 9:31.
And that is just one of dozens of passages that showing that show that God and man cannot get together because of sin. That's why we need a come between, a mediator, a bridge, or a bridge builder. And that's why I am saying that sinners need to understand that on your own, you have messed up yourself with sin. And it is for that reason, you cannot just run to God as you want. Pray to God for Lato and God make you win Lato. A pure ignorance that. That's right. Whoever make you win, it's not God. And you cannot run to God with something like that. Gambling is sinful. So it shows how ignorant you are. And it shows that you have no manners. If you had manners, you'd respect the holiness of God. That's why we need a mediator.
Are we all here?
That's why the Bible tells us that all spiritual blessings are found in Christ. Are we all here? Huh? Oh, did you know that prayer is a spiritual blessing? Well, Mr. Mitchell, tell me the implication. You have to be in Christ to be able to go to God. It's not just Jesus Christ is a mediator out there. You have to make him your mediator. That comes through obedience to his will. You have to believe, repent, and get baptized. Huh? Baptized in Christ. That's how you get in him. But Mr. Mitchell, I believe. No, that only take you on to. You are on your way to him. Mr. Mitchell, I repent. That too is you are on your way to Christ. Mr. Mitchell, I confess Christ's name. You are on your way to Christ. Wait, Mr. Mitchell, like how you make up that? No, I didn't make up this. That's where you run again. That's what the Bible teaches. That's it. That all these steps of obedience take you in the direction of. But baptism places you in Christ. And you need to be there in order to pray. In fact, what this will show is that you are so mad. That you realize because of your sin and the... You know, the Bible makes a lot about the holiness of God. Did you know that, as stated it here, that without the holiness of God, there would be no wrath of God. That is God's vexation. All of that spring from God's holiness. When the Almighty God said to Nadab and Abihu in the book of Leviticus chapter 10, I will be sanctified in them that come near to me. God was saying, because of who I am, no sinner can just come to me the way he wants. You see, all of that, when he said, I be sanctified, I will be treated as holy. God, the word sanctify means holy. Wait, yes, I'm still talking about manners and respect for God. Are we all there? All spiritual blessings, not some, all. You want to have fellowship with God? That's a spiritual blessing. That can be had only in Christ.
You want God to go with you as you go through life? That's a spiritual blessing. You have to be in Christ. But Mr. Mitchell, I want some food. I want a job. That is not spiritual blessing. It comes from God, you know, but that is physical blessing. God provides that for you whether you are a Christian or not. That's why the Bible says that he sent rain both on the just and on the unjust. Rain stands for the physical blessing of life. But when it comes to like things like forgiveness, prayer, fellowship with God, and all of that, all those are spiritual blessings. You have the privilege to go to God in prayer only through Jesus Christ, the mediator. This is because of sin. And on the other part, the holiness of God. Are we all there? Let us look just briefly, quickly, as we move on to a few passages here. We could look at Galatians 3:19, but let us look at 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. Let us look at Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 24, where on the subject of mediator. And then let us look at Job chapter 9, 19, 32 and 33. Let us hear it.
For there is one God.
There is one God.
And one mediator between God and men.
May I? We must understand this and we must relate this. There is one God. Did we get that? But here is it. In the same way there is one God, there is one
mediator
that stands between God and man. Wait now. That mediator is not the Roman Catholic priest. You do not have to come and confess your sin to me or to any man or woman on earth. Now, if you are a part of Christ's family and you have sin which is a public nature, it brings reproach on the church, others know about it, you are required by God to come and make public acknowledgement or confession. But you are acknowledging before your fellow Christian that action of yours is contrary to God's will. And you are at the same time acknowledging to God. But the business where you go and confess your sin to one man and he take you, no. There is one mediator. You know what I like about the passage? The passage tells you who the mediator is. Read the passage, brother.
For there is one God,
mm-hmm,
and one mediator between God and men,
mm-hmm,
the man Christ Jesus.
That's right. It's not anybody down here calling him herself a priest. And you know why? You know why? All of God's true children are priests. Men and women. Oh, Mr. Mitchell, that sounds good. So we must make up that one. No, we didn't make up that one. The Bible tells us that we are priests. Every true Christian. And this is why every true child of God can go to God him herself. Because we are all priests. God in Christ makes us priests. Where we can take our situation to God. If we are true Christian, if we become Christian the Bible's way. Mark your eye. I didn't say if you are a member of some denomination. The Bible, the passage just read in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5 says that there is one mediator between God and man, and that one mediator is Jesus Christ. Let us hear Hebrews now. Either 9:15 or 12:24, any of those passages.
Hebrews 9?
Yes, 9:15 or 12:24.
And for this cause, He is the mediator of the New Testament.
You hear that there is a New Testament? Somebody would like you to live by the Old Testament, Sabbath and all them foolishness there. That was given to the Israelites to remind the Israelites that they were slaves in Egypt. God said that in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 15. This is why I am asking you to keep the Sabbath. Because you were a slave in Egypt, and I, the Almighty God, by a mighty and stretched out arm, led you out of your slavery in Egypt. Therefore, meaning, this is why I am telling you to keep the Sabbath. So that was for the children of Israel. The Bible is so plain. The Bible went on to tell us that our Sabbath is not now. That's right. How we tell you that, Brother Mitchell? It says we must work now so that we will enter the Sabbath, and that Sabbath is in eternity. But the passage in Hebrew tells us now is the time to work for Christ. And I remind Christians, because today I had meant to bring another lesson on the Christian responsibility to evangelize. So I remind Christians that we are to work for Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that the field is ready. The fruit is ready to be reaped. But there is what? Labor problem. Workers are scarce. We need to get engaged in leading men and women to Christ as individuals. But here is, you have read 9:15, no? Okay, don't worry with that yet. There are many passages like Galatians 3:19, Hebrews 8:6. You have read 9:15. There is Hebrews 12:24. But jump with me to Job. We are still a mediator that come between. Job 9:19.
If I speak of strength, lo, he is strong.
Job said, if I speak of strength, lo, God is strong.
And if of judgment,
if I speak of judgment,
who shall set me a time to plead?
I like that. Who going to set an appointment where I can stand before him and plead? You see what Job is saying? Nobody. Nobody is there to bring me where me and God can talk, where there is a judgment seat. Nobody. That was 9:19. Step down to 32 of the same chapter.
For he is not a man.
He is not a man.
As I am.
As I am.
That I should answer him.
Wait. You need to get me. You need to get this, because you see, again, I come back to when you tell men and women that God does not hear the prayer of sinner, they take issue with that.
Job, who lived during the time of the book of Genesis, or beyond, acknowledged that as a mere man, you cannot just go to God. So, let me hear that verse 32 again, brother.
For he is not a man as I am, that I should answer him.
You see, God is not like I am, so I have to have some manners. I have to have some respect to feel that I can just go to him and answer him and talk to him like man to man.
And should come together in judgment.
You see, we can't come together in judgment because God is not a man. That's why you can't pray to God. Because you cannot go without a mediator. So after Job acknowledged that God is not a man like he was, so that he could go to God and that both of them could thrash out the matter, then in verse 33, listen, Job.
Neither is there any this man betwixt us.
Wait, you get the point? I need a liar. That's what a this man is. Job is saying, I need a come between. Betwixt me and God. Is the betwixt us mean between me and God? Job is acknowledging that man on his own cannot approach God. Have some manners. Both you pray to God. Which God you pray to? And you take your sinful practice, lottery and pick three and pick five, whatever they are. About God and what you are saying? Have some manners, have some respect for who God is. In fact, I've always illustrated that even in our social standing, there are many people, many thousands of them, that when you want them, you cannot just go in their office and see them. Am I right? Have to set up appointment, and if they feel they have the time, you cannot just walk in. But watch this. That usually based on either social standing, economical standing, or professional standing. But you know what separates you and God? Holiness standing. It's the character of God that create the separation. That's why you need a mediator. That's why you need Jesus Christ. That's why you need to be in Christ. Job says, neither is there
man.
Any days man. Days man mean a liar.
Mm-hmm. Betwixt us.
Betwixt us.
That might lay his hand upon us both.
That's right. That may raise his hand on God and his hand on me. And listen as we trash out our business. There was no this man. There was no mediator then. But thanks be to God, we do have a mediator now. In the person of Jesus Christ. And we are there. In the text of Judges chapter 16, 17, verse 1 through verse 13. Micah, who stole his mother's money, saw and felt the need for a mediator, a priest, to make contact with God for him. Here is a young man, or an adult, rather, that as confused as he was, and there were a lot of confusion here. But you know what? He recognized that he needed a come between him and God to make contact with God for him. That's right. Yeah. But like now, as it was in the time of Micah in Judges 17,
So it is now. Micah had a lot of false, ignorant, and superstitious beliefs and ideas, not only about the priest, but about God. I said, like now, false ideas about the priest, what they can do, what their function, and false ideas and ignorance about the Almighty God, what He will and will not accept. Lack of it. The text, that is Judges chapter 17, illustrate, and this is important, the passage illustrate the root that underlies all apostasy. I need to say that again and probably do a little explanation. The text of Judges 17, in that text from verse 1 to verse 13, the passage illustrates the very root, the seed of all apostasy. Of course, the word apostasy means desertion. When you walk away from something that is right. That's the concept in apostasy. The word apostasy means rebellion. When you rebel against a standard. The word apostasy means abandonment. When you abandon something that is correct and good and right. The word apostasy has been used in, it's used in the Bible. Paul was accused of apostatizing. That's right. When the Jews brought accusation against Paul, the word that they used there in Acts, we are not going to go there because time. The word that they used was the word apostasy, that Paul apostatized from the law. Yes, Paul walked away from the Old Testament system. So the Jews accuse him of apostatizing. What is terrible for us is when we walk away from the truth of Jesus Christ. That is apostasy. May I? So I'm telling you, in the book of Judges chapter 17, around which this lesson revolves, the passage or the chapter illustrates the root that underlies all apostasy, and that is departure from the revealed stated will of the Almighty God and replacing it with man-made substitute. That's what we see in the passage. That. Sincere? Yes. Mother and son. As we're going to take a few minutes to just list some few things to keep in mind before we end the lesson. But what we see is how they departed from that which the Almighty God had revealed as His will, that which God had stated as His will, they departed from that. And you know what they did? They replaced it with what they want, what they like, what seems good to them. Yeah. Before we even go further, notice this. In the text of Judges chapter 17, we see idolatry. In fact, here, this man Micah had a host of gods. House of gods. In the text, we see will worship. In the text, we see vain worship. In the text, we see convenient religion. In the text, we see large-hearted. Did I say large-hearted? Yes. Large-hearted liberal contribution for God's worship. We are a person who was so big in heart that they put aside a lot of money for God's worship. Brother Mitchell, then people, they must be good. No. They were in sin. Because they strayed away from God's revealed stated will. And it's the same thing today. Even there. We won't go in that. Next week I'm going to show four areas where they had wrong concept of the priest or the priesthood. You know. This man, first he made his son a priest. Just like that, because he knew that you need somebody to come between you and God. He made his son a priest. And then by chance, a Levite was passing by. In fact, that is for next week. Yes, so we see vain religion. We see religious ignorance and confusion, just like in our time. You know, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, the heathen of old, men and women of old who didn't know God, like the heathen of today, and those who are ignorant of God's will today, like the heathen of old, so today they worship those that were no God. I like Jesus' statement in the book of St. John, chapter 4, verse 22. I like that statement. St. John, let us hear it. Chapter 4, verse 22.
He worship, he know not what.
Do you know that's the way it is today? Everybody understand that? You worship what you do not know. You are worshiping, but you do not know who you are worshiping. Brothers and sisters, we need to take time off to know God. Or else you can never worship Him successfully. And that's what Jesus Christ, remember, it's in this same chapter when we step down to verse 24, the brother read verse 22, when we step down to 23 and 24, that God is seeking a particular type of worshiper. Eh? But before he reached that, he's telling the Samaritan woman that you worship that which you do not know. So it was in olden time, and so it is in today. As religious as we think our society is, men do not know God. And in order to worship God the proper way, we need to know God and know His will. We will appreciate better the importance and the relevant lesson for us in this text of Judges chapter 17, if we are mindful of the characters that are in it. I'm just going to list a few of them and the lesson will be yours, so that next week when we start looking at Micah concept of a priest.
Just like people today, they are going to their priests. They don't take time off to read God's word, because if they took time off, they would realize that God doesn't have the type of priest they are going to today.
So, I want to show some of the characters in this lesson, and then the lesson will be yours. Some of the main characters, that is, main players. In fact, the main players really is Micah and his mother. The mother of Micah, notice this, you want to get this. You will appreciate better the entire lesson and the takeaway that you should have from this lesson. The mother of Micah seems to be a devoted woman. From what the text reveal, that 1,100 shekels of beat, silver, gold, whatever, it took considerable time-consuming effort to scrape that amount of silver or gold together. You know what we used to measure that? That 1,100 shekels of silver represents 11 times the yearly salary of a Levite. Are we all there? 11 times. In other words, that money would support a Levite for 11 years. The woman was not a rich woman. Yet, she scraped that money together, and you know why? To give it to God, so that God may bless her son. So we need to have that in mind, so that when we go further in the lesson next week, you will understand better. But not only that, she meant to consecrate that money to Jehovah God, the God of Israel. That we have in verse 3. Just quickly read verse 3 quickly as we wrap up.
And when he had restored the 1,100 shekels of silver to his mother, his mother said, I had wholly dedicated the silver unto the Lord.
You hear? You'll notice wherever in the Bible, in the King James, Lord is all capital. That means it is the word Jehovah that is translated Lord. Ordinarily, when Lord is just only the first letter is capitalized, then it is Adonai. When all the letters are capitalized, it is translated from the consonant, the Hebrew consonant that make up the word Jehovah. So the money was consecrated, meant to be consecrated to God. That's the mother. Are we there? Can we take another few minutes and look?
She seems to have been a good mother. How do I know? She intended the money to be consecrated for the benefit of her son. But not only that, when her son confessed that he was the thief, she showed acceptance love and forgivingness to her son.
That's the mother. And that we find in verse 3. But Micah himself, the son,
Micah showed signs of a morally sensitive conscience and fear of God. Micah the son, verse 2.
And he said unto his mother,
mm-hmm.
The 1,100 shekels of silver,
mm-hmm.
that were taken from thee, about which thou cursed, and speakest of also in mine ears, behold, the silver is with me, I took it. And his mother said, blessed be thou of the Lord, my son.
Verse 13.
13?
Yes, also, what I'm showing is that Micah himself
then
have shown signs of a morally sensitive conscience
then said
and
Micah,
fear of God. Read.
Then said Micah,
mm-hmm.
Now I know that the Lord will do me good, seeing I have a Levite to my priest.
You see, next week now we'll get more into the having his own priest, the person from the proper tribe. And Micah, like men and women today, don't realize that there can be no real special blessing from God if you do not obey him. But here the man is acknowledging that he needs God's blessing. Are we there? And last but not least, remember we see Micah at his own expense. Are we there? At his own expense, liberally providing for the worship of God. No,
my God. What do you mean at his own expense, Brother Mitchell? From his own pocket, he's making arrangement that God be worshipped, and it's going to cost him. Look at verse 8:2-10. Quick, brother.
You see, these verses, we're not going to do a lot of comment on them this week, but there are a lot of lessons in them for us. I'm just showing here the religious inclination of this man. But I must drop on, all that he was doing was unacceptable to God. Read.
And the man departed out of the city from Bethlehem, Judah,
mm-hmm.
to sojourn where he could find a place.
Mm-hmm.
And he came to Mount Ephraim.
Here is a man looking somewhere to settle down. Read. And he came to Mount
Ephraim.
Uh-huh.
To the house of Micah.
He came to the house of Micah.
As he sojourned. And Micah said unto him.
Micah met him and said to him,
whence comest thou?
Where are you coming from?
And he said unto him.
He said to Micah,
I am a Levite of Bethlehem, Judah.
Which means the idea there is supposed to be I'm from the tribe of Levi, but I was living in Bethlehem of Judah. Read.
And I go to sojourn where I may find a place.
I am looking somewhere to settle down. Read.
And Micah said unto him.
Micah said to him,
dwell with me.
Stay with me.
And be unto me a father and a priest.
Brother Webb, I want to just drop out father. Be unto me a priest. Be unto me a priest. He wanted somebody to make contact between him and God.
And
watch your mouth.
And I will give thee 10 shekels of silver by the year.
Wait. I will pay you a yearly salary. In fact, I'm going to get Micah to speak to these brothers in the church. I
I'm just pulling their legs. They are good brothers.
I have to pull somebody's leg. He said, I will pay you 10 shekels of silver. That is out of his own expense, you know. Read on.
By the year.
Uh-huh.
And a suit of apparel.
And I will give you suit of clothing.
And thy victuals.
And I will give you food.
So the Levite went in.
Oh, Lord, have mercy.
Brother, I want you to give me food.
What is striking is that all of this going to be provided to the priest from Micah's own pocket. What is the point? This man shows some deep religiousness and respect for God. Yet, he surrounds himself with idolatry. Well, one of the great lessons we're going to learn next week is the fact that so many men and women get this. The brother is looking for his invitation song. So many men and women think, let since I get this part right, I can have my own way in doing what I want. God will overlook it since I get this part right. We want to look more into that because we see a lot of that. The man's heart was big.
But ladies and gentlemen, in this passage we find Micah anxious for the blessings of God, not realizing that you cannot obtain God's special blessing if you do not obey God. And I want us to leave today remembering that. You cannot obtain God's special blessings if you are not willing to obey God. Not only that, in the passage next week we deal more with, we see a whole heap of, we see enough ignorance and confusion in the passage. Next week we'll look more on that. Those of us who are alive today and have the Bible, let us study God's Word to make sure we have it straight and we have it right. Because only when we have it God's way are we going to be pleasing to God. These people are sincere people, but they have it mixed up, confused. Come next week as we study and get some takeaway from this great lesson. But right now you can become a child of God. You have heard enough that should make you want to give up your way of life and accept Jesus' is. You have heard enough to make you want to believe in the righteous way and the holiness of God. That's why you and I need Christ. Because we are contaminated by sin. Only when you hear God's word, the gospel, believe it, and among what you must believe is that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that your sins cannot be addressed outside of Christ. You must repent. You must be willing to confess Jesus' name, and you must be baptized. That is to get in Christ so that your sin can be dealt with. As we now stand and sing, you can step forward with a resolve to obey Jesus Christ, accepting Him as your Lord, as your Savior, and watch here, and as your mediator. You need that. Without that mediator accepted, it's not that Jesus just, well, He died, Brother Mitchell, for the sins of all of us, so He's mediator.
No, you have to first submit your life to Him for Him to become your mediator. Then you can pray as you want. Now all your prayer and fasting means nothing to God, because you are not in Jesus Christ through getting the right teaching and getting to be baptized the right way. We stand now and sing. It's a good time for you to respond. If you are Christian, we will answer them. Our rock, let God's word give you the right answer. But you need Christ. If you are a child of God who has strayed, backslidden, come now and recommit your life. Because God in His graciousness and kindness has given us now, as we stand.